items on our agenda. But it will also be good to announce that we shall be having our strategic planning session of the portfolio committee with the entities on the 16th and 17th of April. We will arrive on the 15th. We will not be having it here in Parliament so that we can focus. So we will be going out. We will leave Parliament or our from our villages on the 15th. We will slip over there so that we can start on time on the 15th and 17th and then come back.
Now, which province are we in?
It's we've received reports, and the lowest one was for Erinville golf course in Somerset West. The information about what time we're going to leave will be communicated to all members by next week, the latest.
Is that one of the bunkers on the golf course?
Mr. Neil Martin will contact everyone. She's been excellent in that regard. Thank you very much. We'll start by we have one apology. We have an apology from the DG, who is in Brits, and he has sent the acting CFO as well as the DDG. And and the director. So they will introduce themselves when we give them that opportunity. Let us go through the minutes of the minutes of the 19th of March. We are on page one. Page two. Page three. Page 4 and page 5. Can we get a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Mtaka.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move for the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Honorable Sabute.
Thanks, Chair. I second the mover.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 19th of March have been adopted by the Portfolio Committee. Thank you. We then move to the next item. The next item is a follow-up of a meeting that was held in February, when we had a briefing by the Office of the Auditor General on the performance of the Department of Transport, particularly in use of consultants. Because of time constraints, we were unable to give the department an opportunity to respond to what had been presented to us by the Office of the Auditor General. This meeting seeks to afford the department that opportunity of saying that in on the report presented to us by the Auditor General, which pointed out a number of areas what is then the response from the department to try and correct those things that are pointed out by the Office of the Auditor General? Can we then give to the
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Matabata Mukonyama, the DDG responsible for public transport. As you rightly said, Honorable Chair, the Director General is attending to the BRICS issues, so she won't be here with us, but I'm leading the team. I am with me, I'm here today with the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Dan Pretorius, who's second from my right. I'm with Ms. Kamanka Malinal, she's Director of Taxi Recap, because we had also had some other business to attend to. And then in my immediate right to the CIPO, very known to the committee, I hope. And then we've got Ms. Tasneem Steris from the Office of the Deputy Minister. And then we also then have the Chief Director responsible for strategic planning in the department, Ms. Lumka Lubisi. That is the team today. We were expecting to be joined by DDG IT. I think he's still on his way. Chairperson, firstly, would like to apologize because we only had to get the documents ready some 3 hours before the meeting. But I think it was also because of the notice of the meeting and the fact that we had to therefore sit as ERCSCO yesterday to develop the presentation. But the second thing, Chair, without even going to the presentation, that I would like to declare is that we were of the opinion that the meeting of the 19th dealt extensively with the responses to the AG. Today we were requested to bring before the committee the strategies to reduce the use of consultants. I personally, Chair, do not have a problem. We can go to the previous presentation. I opened it by mistake just before we started, so I'm still having it on my desktop. We can go there, but today's presentation talks to what we are doing to reduce the use of consultants, and I want to be therefore be guided, Chair.
I'm not sure what you refer, which meeting you are referring to when you are quoting the 19th. Because the meeting that we had with the Auditor General was on the 26th, isn't it? 26th of February.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, the meeting of the 26th of February, that's when the AG briefed the committee and the department could not present. We then met at SCOPA, but the portfolio committee called us last week on the 19th, where we dealt extensively with the AG report. So I was of the opinion that today is a follow-up on what are we doing to reduce the reliance on consultants. And that is the presentation that we had prepared.
Yeah. Can we come to the common understanding? When an issue is raised, you first respond to it to explain how it happened, which is what happened last week. And then you would be given an opportunity to come and present to us what corrective measures are you taking to deal with those issues. And that is what we are expecting to see.
That is precisely what we prepared, Chair. The presentation would deal with firstly high level on the key issues that were raised by the AG. The AG raised about 7 substantive issues and then other minor issues. And then we'll talk about the staffing issues, because at the heart of it all was the issue around capacity in the department to deal with the work that the consultants were assisting us to do. And then we'll also therefore elaborate much more again on the strategies. And then we'll talk to the committee about what we are doing on what we call large contracts. And then we had developed and approved a policy just around about the time when the audit was done. We therefore developed a policy on the use of consultants, which we will share with the committee today. Chair, on the issues around risk assessments, and in particular to deal with the procurement gaps and internal control gaps, we have since expanded the structure during the restructuring, split the directorate, which was risk management and internal control, into two, with one specifically focusing on risk management and the other on internal controls, both of which deals specifically with the internal control gaps and the risk issues, where we want to arrest the problems at the level of award, not at the level of project management when the thing's already been awarded. That process resulted in us appointing a risk practitioner. She's a lady to develop the framework and the identification and the assessments and also mitigation plans in terms of how we deal with risky areas. On the reliance on consultants to assist with strategic planning in the department, we have expanded the directorate's strategic planning to that of chief director, to the level of chief director, and Ms. Lewis is occupying that space, which is strategic planning, monitoring, and evaluation. In the main, the weakness that was pointed by the director general was around monitoring and project management. So this office is situated in the office of the director general. It has been staffed at the level of chief director. We hope to strengthen the capacity underneath the chief director, but we do have a director and the deputy director. And then to improve on the management of contracts, Honorable Chair, every month we get a contract management spreadsheet detailing the status of each and every contract that is running, that is current in the department, in terms of when was it awarded, how far is the project, how much it was paid, and how far we are with each one of them in terms of completion, so that we avoid either period overruns or even budget overruns. This is the spreadsheet that we also share with the National Treasury on a monthly basis. This is information that we send to them. And then in terms of the capacity created to monitor the implementation of the NetMap, which was another finding, the AG found out that yes, we had spent money, we had developed this document or plan called the National Transport Master Plan, But we had not made provision for its implementation. And last week we responded that actually implementation of the National Transport Master Plan, at the level of national we do the framework and the planning, the implementation is at the level of implementing agents, be they be agencies or provinces and local government. Now, what we have done in the Chief Directorate economic analysis and monitoring within the Integrated Transport Planning section branch, we have a directorate, the National Transport Master Planning, implementation and review. So as we implement the master plan, we will, as they implement, we will therefore monitor and review the implementation to ensure, one, that they are complying with the document, but also, two, that there are issues that need to make to ensure that we review the plan itself, because the plan is not necessarily static. That is the issue around the NATMAP. And then staffing challenges in the department. Chair, we're coming out of a major restructuring of the department, as the Honorable Chair and members would know. Now, we have, as of April 2013, created 58 additional positions to deal with public entity oversight. Now, we will create, we had received 23 million additional to the baseline, and that was targeted money for oversight and grant monitoring. Those are the issues also raised by the AG in terms of our oversight at the agencies, but also the issues around grants like the Samba Soke, Public Transport Infrastructure Grant, and Public Transport Operations Grant. We will elaborate on those positions in the later slides. But that is yet another attempt to ensure that we tighten control and monitoring. But in this particular instance, it's over public entities and then DORA allocations. The other thing we want to bring to the attention of the committee is that we come from a recent past where we had a number of contractors, officials, or people that were on contract against permanent positions. All contract positions in the department, the minister given a directive, and we had resolved that all contract positions will be terminated and they will be placed, they will be replaced with permanent staffing where provision in terms of the organogram has been made. What I'm trying to say is that where you had people on contract against permanent positions, those permanent positions will be filled forever. Just so that, again, we bring in that expertise to reside in the department forever, more especially on programs that the essence of the paying of the department and are not necessarily once-off or project-related. We will again talk to some of these issues, but we had we discussing at the Strategic Management Committee of the Minister next week how far we had gone in this instance. That issue around the additional capacity that got additional funding from Treasury, in terms of the branches or the programs in the department, those are the positions or spaces that will have to be catered for by the additional 23 or so million. I think the committee can just note, and for example, read, but just an emphasis on a number of areas. If you look at almost all of these areas, the focus is on strengthening public entity oversight. And then in public transport is on conditional grants. In administration is on supply chain management and internal control and risk management areas. Those are the areas where we were found necessarily wanting. Now, other strategies that are related to how we want to assure the community that we are really minimizing the dependency on consultants. It's what the measures that we have recently adopted. We had consultants assisting, providing what we would call technical support, especially in the development and the monitoring of strategic plans, and also following up on performance information in relation to predetermined objectives. We have since withdrawn our services from these consultants, three sets of consultants. We have scaled down because the period has not expired in terms of us providing instructions, mainly because all of those areas are now covered. I think the one challenging area could be legal, but also legal services has assured us that there are other areas like the usage of state attorney going forward. We are also looking into all the current contracts. We will soon issue TORs to audit all the contracts in terms of just to make sure that even in those few areas that we are still using consultants, the issues around contract award, contract management, and the issue around the value for money are properly audited and the gaps identified and therefore rectified. This is the very recent development. Now I've highlighted a few of the larger contracts in terms of how we would want to deal with them going forward. Jefferson, you would want to agree with me, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that eNATIS and the driver's license cut will be with us for as long as there are vehicles in South Africa. What I'm trying to say is that function is permanent, sort of. That is the main reason why it is these two areas are the areas that we are targeting to reduce the reliance on consultants. Because you are never, therefore, going to get capacity within if you don't bring back these key functions. So eNATIS and this DLCA is coming into the department, the contract, the production of the cars and the management thereof. They're coming back into the department because they are permanent functions. We have we are creating permanent capacity to deal with them. We might still be outsourcing a few areas like in supplies in terms of material and cars because of issues related to security and so on. But the productions themselves will have to happen in-house. The tax recap is another one such major project. However, the tax recap is not a permanent feature. If you would recall, we have always been saying that the idea was that this should be a seven-year program targeting 130 vehicles. Unfortunately, the allocations from Treasury in terms of money only allowed us to do half. While we were targeting around 14,500 per month, we could only on average do 7,000. That's the result where we are, why we are still where we are. But in this space, Honorable Chair, we have, as a department, realized that taxi recapitalization program in its current form needs to be reviewed. We've done an analysis and the review, we've identified the gaps, we have developed options. That is an area that we are giving serious attention. We had made commitment last week, Honorable Chair, to the honorable members, that we are more than happy to come and present tax recapitalization separately as a program, because there is just so much to tell, and I think there will be so much to ask. So we will definitely be ready, should we be called, in terms of what is it that we are doing in terms of the tax recap. The last part, Chair, is that we have, as a result of all these challenges that we had and we identified during the audit, developed the policy on the use of consultants, which policy was approved by the department. Now, the essence of that policy is that consultants will have to be used strictly where and when expertise is needed, but also for a short period. And we have in there the issues around proper planning, which was one of the criticisms, and a proper needs assessment. And before we even embark on a procurement process, satisfy the questions of the test as to why such work cannot be done by the department. But also again, in terms of the bidding processes, if we outsource skill or expertise, we do it once and ensure that an issue of skills transfer is taken very seriously, so that we avoid unnecessary extensions at the end of a particular project. We are able to do it in-house. We had last week the team from the INATIS. They were saying that they are more than ready not to allow the system to collapse should it come into the department. Within 24 hours, it would be back to like normal capacity. That, because there was a question, what would happen if there's people walk away tomorrow? Okay, and then the issues are, we have strengthened the bidding committees and procurement promises and specification committees to ensure that, one, we are not being overcharged, but for each and every project or contract, we have what to call contract stroke project manager to ensure that there is, one, value for money, but two, they take accountability for performance or non-performance of particular contracts. And then in terms of staff training and related issues, like I said, we are going to emphasize and stress that this issue around skills transfer is no longer only on documents, requests for proposal or quotations, but is taken very, very seriously, and there are targets for that type of exercise. And then again, it is just to reiterate the issue around the economic use and effective contract and project management. For an example, filling up terms of references on the issues that you want. That's just so that the scope is, one, not so wide, but also ambiguous. It is so focused, you know what you want, and it's exactly what you want that is going to be delivered. Chair, I would say, in closing, the audit was done around 2010. The AG spent some 2 years finalizing the reports. In that period, they were coming to us and trying to find out how far we are in terms of implementing some of the things that we said we are implementing. That's the reason why in 2013, today, we had moved to the extent that we have, more especially in the incapacitating the department in those areas that we were short or weak in. But we want to assure the committee that going forward, we need to be judged. But it is a pity we cannot necessarily, I'm not so sure if we have, to say how many consultants we have now and what is the value. Just so that after some time, this commitment that we are trying to make, we are making to the committee, is really realized again to take stock of that. But I think that would be a good measure. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. I think it is a very straightforward presentation. I would now open an opportunity for members to ask questions and make comments. Honorable Oli.
Chairperson, okay. Thank you. Thank you for the presentation and the time that you've obviously put into working on this. The first part of this presentation is not really about consultants directly, but of course these are tasks that consultants were asked to do in the department. It seems strange that normal accounting procedures were outsourced to consultants, but clearly they were. So this is risk assessment is something that's normally done by your in-house accountants. They normally do that. So obviously this needed to be done. So I understand that why it was outsourced, I don't know. But interestingly, I read in the newspaper today that Transnet has done exactly that. Transnet just outsourced all of their internal auditing and accounting to the companies. They claim in the newspaper this morning it's the largest outsource of internal accounting and auditing in the world. So, I mean, I don't understand this government, because on the one hand we're castigating this department for outsourcing everything, and now Transnet is doing exactly the opposite. They outsource the whole thing. Everything's gone. I don't understand the policy, but okay. The point is, internally, there should be risk management, and that's the right thing to do, because you should have controls inside to make sure that future risks, like with the tax levy gap program, there are future risks that the program could collapse or managed internally. So I think that's the right thing to do. The additional 58 posts, I understand the total picture that we are moving work from consultants to internal staff members. I just want assurance from the department that's what these 58 posts are going to be created for. Because if we create 58 additional posts and then still just keep on using the consultants, then all we've done is increase the size of the workforce. It must be either or. You can't have the 58 posts plus all the consultants we have. So I just want some assurance that these new posts are replacing consultants, because I'm not sure that is the case. And because if these posts are, for example, assistant directors and directors for oversight and directors for performance, these sound like people who manage divisions in the department. And I can't believe that was outsourced. I mean, were management functions actually outsourced? Because, I mean, if an additional post is a director for oversight and a director for performance, and a director for conditional grants and a director for public in. These are directors. These are senior staff members who must make sure that the department or the staff under them are performing. Are we being told by the department that the functions of these directors have been outsourced? I mean, you don't outsource the director's job, you outsource a function, like catering or building trains. But to outsource because you see, Chairperson, the 58 jobs that we're creating are listed here. So these jobs theoretically are supposed to replace the consultants, but these are director's positions and things, and I wonder why does that tie up? Are we replacing consultants with directors? Because that just does seem very strange. I know that the DDG doesn't want to give us a whole presentation now on the taxi recap way forward, so I'm not going to ask him to do that, but I just perhaps a one-sentence comment he could give on the comments here on page 8, because it talks here about including taxis in the public transport subsidies, and that the cost of scrapping taxis will augment the amount available for public transport subsidies and services. And Chairperson, I think you'll agree that that's quite a big step. It's quite a change in policy, because we haven't had subsidies for taxis. And I understand the logic for doing it. If you're going to subsidize buses, why not subsidize taxis? The logic is clear. What's not clear is the control. We had a problem in the past in this department where buses were sponsored on the basis of how many passengers they carried, and the bill ran away. You know, it was per kilometer per passenger, and the bill at the end of the year was something very big that Treasury hadn't budgeted for. I just want to know what the mechanism will be, and that's the one sentence or two sentences I'm looking for. What is going to be the mechanism to limit the total subsidy bill so that Treasury doesn't come back and, you know, create havoc because the department, because I mean there are many taxis, there are 135,000 at least that we know about. Now to subsidize so many different units, there must be a complex way of working out how much money we've got to dispense and how we control that so it doesn't become a runaway train, excuse the expression, but you know what I mean, that the amount you have to pay out doesn't just grow and grow and grow into a massive bill. I think the better or the more important parts of this presentation are the last couple of pages, which are the ones that actually talk about how you're going to deal with the fact that we've got too many consultants and too many subcontractors. This is the actual meat of this thing, where it talks about the strategy to use for consultants. You limit the size of the use of consultants. You require executive approval before they can begin. There's an end point. You look at replacing them with internal staff. These are the kind of controls. Not all the details here, of course, because this is a high-level presentation, but this is what should have been done. And I think this does start to answer the AG's queries, because it explains use of consultants only when the skills are not available and it's not feasible to train and recruit staff. But one would have presumed, Chairperson, that that was already the practice of the department before that. I mean, it's just sad that we had to wait for the Auditor General to tell us that this should be happening. It's normal to actually only outsource when you don't have the skills. I don't understand why we're only implementing this now. Anyway, I think I'm covered so far, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, Chairperson, has been between. I just want to check the synergy or the relationship between page 4 and page 5 in the presentation. around the question of the capacity. On page 4, you speak of the internal capacity was created. And on page 5, you speak of to improve the capacity in the department. So limited capacity was already created. Can I just get a little bit of clarity on the two statements? How do they relate to one another? And maybe a cherry on top, because also the DDG spoke of the 23 million for oversight and grant monitoring. Do we have that plan to monitor in as far as the 23 million rand that we were given? It's not included here, but we did raise it on the matter. The other issue here on page 5, are we looking at the financial year, this financial year, if it's all, say, all posts that were not yet advertised will be advertised to grow permanent staff capacity? Are we talking of this financial year or in the next financial year? because a follow-up bullet point talk to all contract positions that are being terminated when the contract period expires. Maybe I would need some little bit of explanation on that bullet point, Chairperson, because I would want to know what is the scale of those contract positions, what is the depth or of those contracts, so that we understand we speak of so much in that. Also, on those 5 bullet points, the details of the post, but I appreciate that the field post vacancies, so you made some audit in that regard, which led you to have the 58 posts. My concern, though Mr. Ollis did touch on it, it seems to me we are creating a structure that is like a funnel. A funnel is bloated at the top. It's like a funnel structure, this structure. It talks about you. Now, I want to think very wild here, subject to correction. The Department of Transport is given a 35 billion, because it goes back to what I raised, the 35 billion. 97% of that budget goes to entity, and you're left only with 2 billion to run the department. Now, I just want to check the AG is raising the issue of consultants as a matter that is a going concern. It's a very serious matter, because we are outsourcing to a tune of 1.86 billion rand just to consultants over a period of 2-3 financial years. Now, this structure talks of the top structure, and we are looking vis-a-vis how do we reduce consultants. How does this relate to what the AG is raising and to what you are bringing here on this page 6? I raise the matter to say, on the 35 billion, surely we need to think creatively as to how to turn around that situation. Because 33 billion is being outsourced and we are left with 2 billion. And now we are looking at this 2 billion that is directly to the department. Only 2 billion is left. Entities are getting the bigger chunks. Now, as long as our budget is diverted to entities and we are left with this little, surely there is no way that we can escape using consultants in the manner in which we are using them. It might seem small if you speak of 1.86 billion vis-a-vis the 3 billion rand that is going out. And here we are looking for a a scenario where we tilt that balance, that budget, into a favor that will respond to the employment of our communities. I'm not getting that sense. Because here we are creating a funnel structure. I needed to, I'm sure, maybe I raised it too high, I'm not sure, or I'm not very clear. But you must understand, I've got a serious fundamental concern, because I'm going to the heart of the problem. You might paper here and talk of this little, but I'm not sure also how much are we talking about here, or how many consultants are we talking here, if you want to change the situation in the department, given the fact that you give us a top structure post field and not to the real issue. So I needed to be schooled in that area, chairperson. I don't get that sense. The other, my last take, well, I will abide, and I think we did the proposal that came from the department through DDG. We accepted it. The issue of tax recapitalization. It needs a special attention. I think a follow-up meeting, an urgent one too, should be brought. We should have that meeting. It's a serious concern, especially when you look at the request by the department. I think Honorable Ollies raised this matter of why do you, where is the logic when you want to request funds at the tune of 1.2 billion and yet the output is less than it's about 7,000 taxes and so on. There's a whole range of discussions. I think not DDG is also raising that matter. There's a lot to say or to talk, but there's also a lot of questions that we have on that presentation. So I will not delve much on this one. It needs a special time and a special attention so that special people who are dealing with this matter directly should be brought to the fore. Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Honourable Suka covered quite a bit of what I was going to say or wanted to raise questions about. It's also about these 58 posts that are mentioned on page 5. It does say these are things that will improve capacity in the department. And then on the next page, as I think he pointed out himself, it lists the actual posts, which do indeed add up to 58. If you look at those posts, a number of personal assistants, assistant directors, just about everybody seems to get a personal assistant. It's not the kind of thing, PA, that you would use a consultant for anyway. So I'm a little bit confused. Does that in fact mean that new entities are being created within departments and that in fact a director of, for example, public entity oversight with his or her personal assistant was in fact something that was contracted out before? Because the presentation today was supposed to be how we could address the excessive use of consultants and in fact reduce that. So I'm a little bit concerned as to whether the two are related. I mean, is the capacity building meant to reduce consultants? In which case, I don't know why we didn't have PAs before. It's a bit confusing to me. I'd just like that to clear it up, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 5, it says all posts that were not yet advertised will be advertised to grow permanent staff capacity. I just want to know, you cannot just throw it. I need the specifics when and the time frames. Thank you.
Thank you. I also have my own question. First, let me thank again the department for responding to some of the issues that we have made. I am optimistic that there will be made progress. I just have a few questions. On slide number 4, internal capacity was created to monitor. Internal capacity was created to monitor the implementation of National Transport Master Plan. You are then saying that a chief directorate macro sector planning was created with four planning directorates, one of which is the directorate master planning implementation and review. I think it is a good thing. And you are saying to ensure compliance. Can't remember what else you mentioned. But I also think that it is at planning level where we would also seek to align the implementation plan to the triple challenges. Facing the country, which is poverty, unemployment, and inequalities. And if we don't feature that, we may easily forget that the planning of the master plan, transport master plan, has to speak to those things. That in this country, we have areas that are inaccessible because of no infrastructure. And also, we have infrastructure in this country that is of different standards, like the roads where I was born in Harding. They don't have, most of them don't have, they are not of blacktop. They are gravel. They have no street lights. They have no signage. They have no road marking. Those are inequalities that we need to be really identifying at a planning stage. And if we can't speak to that, it would mean that a planning will happen and implementation will happen. And monitoring, therefore, will be based on what we have planned, which does not necessarily speak to the inequalities, to job creation, and to poverty reduction. That is one area that I thought it is not a question, it is a comment to say that has to come out very clearly, that one of the responsibilities under this directorate would be to ensure that the planning and implementation process speaks to those three areas that have been identified as challenges in this country. I also want to make a comment and make an example. You said the Gautrain is a very good project. But if we were to just sit as this committee and the department and say, let us evaluate the integrated transport development plan that was initiated by Gauteng, which we have never done. We've never done. We have all recognized that OR Tambo was upgraded. There has been a BRT. There has been a JFIP. And there is Gautrain. But if we were then to sit down and do an evaluation of the progress made and the impact, and then put these three these challenges, poverty, unemployment, and inequalities, and say, if we were to start as if we are starting in 1996, when this project was looted by Gauteng, would we have started with the Gautrain? If we are also conscious of the different classes that exist in our society, is the Gautrain a mass mover? Does it speak to the issue of inequalities? Does it reduce the gap between the middle class and the low class? And the answer that we would arrive at is it doesn't. It prioritizes middle class. So that is the example that I'm making to say. It is not only to plan, but it is to plan against the challenges that you want to address in the country. And if that is hidden, you can't see that, then you will have a problem in evaluating the impact that you are making and the progress that you are making in terms of transforming the conditions in the country. Because it is not only about spending the money and developing infrastructure. It is about developing infrastructure in relation to the challenges that the country is faced with. The second issue that I want to speak on, I'm going to ask a question that doesn't come here, but because we are providing oversight, you may not respond to this question, but I would want to respond one thing. Are the members of the board, are there people who are members of the board of